is on fire in here. If you missed last week, you missed the fire in the church. And number five is never give up. Hey, I heard a funny story. Do you want to hear it? Good. One person over here does. So good. Married couple. They're both married like 60 years. They're 60 years old, and they're celebrating their 35th anniversary. And so during the party, a genie appears, and the genie congratulates them coming out of the party, you know, coming out of the genie. And she says, the genie says, I'll grant the wife one wish and the husband one wish. And so the wife goes first. She says, I want a trip around the world. And poof, right there, she has two tickets to go around the world on a worldwide cruise. And so the genie says, husband, what do you want? She says, I wish I had a wife that was 30 years younger than me. So poof, you know, now he's 90. Amen. Yeah. Be careful what you ask for, right? Why is it that when we're dating that we have opposites that attract? And we attract each other and, you know, she talks so much and I can listen to her. But, you know, after you get married, opposites attack. And you don't like the talking so much as much anymore, and it wore on you. Or, you know, he was cool and chilled out when you were dating him, ladies. Now, you know, he's a lump on the log, a knot. You know, he just doesn't do anything. And so now there's attack. And so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in church for those of you that are married. And you need to answer them, you know, be truthful in church. And so how many of you that are married, you married somebody that's opposite to you in a lot of ways? Come on, you raise your hand. Amen. Good. There she is. Good. How many, you can put your hands up. How many of you are the ones in your marriage that like to be punctual all the time? You like to be on time, on time, on time. How many of you, put them down. How many of you are in the marriage that you're creative with your time? Okay, Sarah, you're not even, you got here to church on time, right? No, you did. How many of you would like to say, you know, when you go on a trip, you like to plan designated points and you like to plan? How many don't, you just go with the flow, man? If we run out of gas, we run out of gas. No GPS needed. Let's just go. Amen. You see how opposites attract. How many of you, money. Let's talk about money. How many of you are spenders? You like to spend. Raise your hand. Yeah. Don't lie in church. Amen. How many of you are the savers? Glory to God. For the spenders, we're going to pass the offering buckets around. Amen. Get ready to put it in. Amen. spend. That'd be good. The challenge in marriage is sometimes we end up with these disposable relationships that we say we can dispose those real quickly. I've told you the story. My son, I was told that, you know, he had this relationship. One of the brothers here in the church, Mighty Man of God, was looking out for old Andrew. And Andrew, if you're watching, I'm still watching you, even you're in Dallas. Amen. Dad sees everything, mom and dad. So anyway, he was like 16, and he had a girlfriend, but I didn't know about it. Irma didn't know about it. And, you know, mom and dad should know if you got a girlfriend, right? Shouldn't be the last to know. We're Christians, amen. We should do things like that. And so this brother sees Andrew on Facebook like this with a girl, amen, next to him. And that girl's next to him, and he goes, hey, did you know that he has a girlfriend? And, you know, like that. And I go, man, thank you, bro. You saved my life, and thank you. I love you, man. I'm going to make my next born after you. And I hung up. He was just being nosy in a good way. Isn't that good? He's protecting the house. And so on Facebook, amen. And so anyway, when Andrew gets home, I said, hey, what's this? This is a girl, dude. Mama's getting them. So a couple of weeks later, you know, I go, hey, how's it going? You know, we didn't like the way we found out about it and hope they were friends. And he said, I broke up with her, you know. I said, you broke up with her? He said, yeah, you know. So we ended the dinner conversation. Well, later on, you know, Irma just felt the Holy Spirit rising. And she went and talked to Andrew, and he had a come-to-Jesus meeting. Mama, you ever have that with your son? And things weren't pretty in that room, amen? And she talked to him about, hey, girls aren't disposable, son. And you hurt a girl. You shouldn't have probably even been dating her because you don't even pay bills yet. And don't even know how to wash your clothes yet. And so, you know, what are you doing even doing that, amen? And so I think we get into these relationships and heartbreak after heartbreak, and we think, you know, bitterness comes in, and we get deceit and lying coming in, because when conflict arises and we're so different from each other, we think we can easily end it. But there is a covenant of God when we get married. Do you understand that today? And it's a next level thing that we, as I speak, I'm very sensitive to this fashion that I know I'm speaking to people, even via the internet, that would, you tried everything you could, and you went through a divorce, and you're here, and you're hearing me. And by the grace of God that you're here, I thank God that you're here, because it takes courage to rebuild again and to have hope again, even within your home today. I know you probably could have done things better. We all could have, because we all have a past, married or not married, just in relationship. Don't we know that as a truth? I could have been a better son. I realize that now that I'm an older man, right? Yeah. I could have been I could have done things better in my marriage as I've gone on in marriage, right? And by the grace of God, Irma and I aren't divorced. By the very grace of God. Do you understand that today? For those that I speak into this fashion, that you're in an abusive relationship, and on that issue, I would say never giving up is not an option. You need to give up for a moment, not giving up on your marriage, but you need to separate. I've always counseled couples, you can't work on your marriage when you're separated. You have to be together. But if abuse is happening, if physical abuse, you need to get authorities involved. You need to get protected. You need to be protected. And if it continues, I know a couple of guys that are the men of faith in this room. We'll take a couple of baseball bats for $10. We'll take care of situations, because that shouldn't go on today. I know that at that moment, seriousness now, that you need to probably be separated until there's a point of safety for your life. And when that happens, then come back together today again. We carry a weight sometimes that God has carried to the cross, and it's time to lay that weight down, even during this message today. We can all forget about our past, not by our own mind, but by looking at the Word and say, you need to leave things behind and go forward in what God... The Bible spoke about a covenant that we would make, and it fashioned it, not that married covenants or marriage I do's are in the Bible, but their fashioned principles are. So we say from this day forward, we go forward and we leave the past behind. And when we do that, all things are possible with God, aren't they? We have the new beginning. There was an interesting conversation the Pharisees had with Jesus, and it was not a routine one. So when they came to talk to Jesus, God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus, they didn't know who they were dealing with, and Jesus gave them a shocking statement. And so in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, you have it in your handout. Let me read that here and hear the word of the Lord. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. And I noticed that word test, they came with the wrong motive. Somebody say wrong motive. You're talking to God in the flesh, and he knows everything. But religious people have a way of trying to prove God and ask him questions. And God is God. God is going to say it, and we have to get behind it and do what God's told us to do. Don't reason it away today. Amen. Jesus said, they asked him, is it lawful? This was a question they asked Jesus. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And at that moment in culture, women were like possessions. There was the cattle that you owned as a man, the farm, field, and then your wife. Aren't you glad we don't live like that, ladies, anymore, right? There was this thing that they would carry, a contract. In some cultures, they still do it. And it would be in their papers would be in here. And a man at any moment could take those papers out and rip them up. So if the wife started to irritate him, he would go, shut up, man. You better shut up. I'll rip it up. And it would be, how many men don't want to go to that? Now, one guy said, man, I wish we were like that. Well, first service, amen. But let me move ahead, amen. to divorce his wife for any and every reason. Do you know in every state now, we have a no-fault divorce clause? It's nobody's fault, we're just getting divorced. We don't love each other anymore. Isn't that not a commitment that God would want us to have, right, everybody? Haven't you read, Jesus continues, now he replies, and Jesus says this, that at the beginning the Creator made male and female. And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. That's one bond with his wife. It's more than a physical thing. It's a spiritual, it's a soul thing. You're one, not only in flesh, but in spirit. It's a spiritual thing. That's why the world has so much trouble with it, because they're not spiritual. They don't know Jesus. Not that we're better than them, but it's a spiritual thing. God established the marriage covenant. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, or let no man. And I'm so glad that Jesus, when he said that, what God has brought together, let no man separate. Deal with it now. Jesus didn't say it in that sort of tense, in that sort of attitude. He knew the pain that it would cause when something would be separated and ripped apart. What would happen to children in the process? What would happen to your heart in the process? Divorce is incredibly painful. That's why I spoke a moment about it ago. Andy Stanley says this: you can't un-one what God has made one. A fellow brother that's now in heaven told me when I got divorced, he said, my very stomach, just something happened to me. I said, I didn't realize what was going to happen, but when the divorce came, I ached on the inside, a pain that I never will ever explain, but something happened to me, and I still remember that pain. And I know that you've felt that pain if you've been divorced, and the pain is real. God is a God of new beginnings, and I'm thankful for the process of healing that's in everyone's life today, because you serve a God that lives today, and he's alive in you today. A marriage covenant is not a contract. And on the big screen, we can say that together on three. One, two, three. A marriage covenant is not a contract. In the student center, when that was our church, I illustrated that at one moment. I superglued two bond pieces of paper together. And I said, this is like a marriage, and a marriage, him, her, and I brought it together. Well, what happened was during that moment, a precious lady that had been invited came, and she had gone through a divorce. And so when I ripped the piece of paper apart, she literally began to cry. It wasn't deliverance that was needed. It was this, she remembered the pain that it brought her. And it was a painful just experience for her. I wish I would have used another illustration, but it proved the point of how much pain that divorce brings. I want to speak towards that, some extra notes. Again, the real spiritual people take extra notes at Living Faith. The people that really love Jesus take extra notes at Living Faith Church. And a contract is based on mutual distrust. And that's what the world does. Look, you're going to get that from me. I'm going to make sure I get this from you. So you sign here. When you buy your house, when you purchase your mortgage, and you like a volume of paper, right? You're signed initial here, initial here. You take the afternoon off because you know it's going to take the afternoon, those of you who bought homes here. A rent agreement, much the same way. They want to know that the process is over after a year. You're free to leave. They're going to increase, or you're going to go in there. And so in marriage, you know, it's as long as you make me happy, as long as you're bringing the paycheck home, as long as nothing else better comes along, then I'll stick around. But the contract would say, in other words, if you don't live up to your end of the agreement in marriage, then I'm out of here. And how many know that's not the way God intended it to be? He gave us a never give up heart in this room today. And so a covenant, this is what we're after today. A covenant is this. A covenant is based on mutual what? Commitment. Somebody shout commitment, right, everybody? God is a covenant-keeping God. And I'm so glad about that. God makes our relationship when he makes it with people, it makes it permanent. That's why his nation of Israel is their people. He made a covenant with them through Abraham today. Covenant has the interest of the other in mind more than the interest of themselves today. The Bible speaks of that word covenant, and it's this Hebrew word for berith. It's berith, and it literally means to cut something. Remember when you were a kid and you would do that blood brother thing before we really realized about blood and the power of it? My generation, we would cut each other, and best friends, sixth graders, me and Junior Smith, amen. And now we're blood brothers, man. We're blood brothers, man. How many would be shocked to do that now? You would want to do that now. But we would, you know, we'd be blood brothers. And in the marriage ceremony in the Old Testament in Leviticus, they would cut a bull up. Finally, the bull got cut. They cut the bull. Y'all can get that later at 3 in the morning. They cut the bull. And the priest would come, and he would bind their hands together as they were cut, and wrap them together in cord. And then they would walk through the cut-up bull, literally a live bull. Then they would sacrifice the bull at the altar. And they would walk through the bull, walk through it 7 times. And they would say something like this: may what happened to this bull, this animal, happen to us if we break this covenant. How many glad we don't do that anymore? How many glad we don't do that at Living Faith? There'd be a lot of carpet cleaning going on, right, everybody, at the altar today. A covenant surrenders the rights, really, of an individual, and it assumes the responsibility. Get married in a church. It's so important. You may have gotten married by the JP. I applaud all the saints in this room that one day you saw it that, well, we got married, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 1 year ago with JP down in the courthouse. But then we realized that we needed covering and we needed the house of God and we needed witnesses. And so you come together in the house of God, and one day a pastor will bring you before the people and bring you before God, and he'll give you that thought, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health. Do you say I do? And you'll say I do after each of those. And then they'll end that thing with this, something like this, until death do us part. And you say I do. And many of us don't want to do until death do us part. Well, they're in sickness, or it's worse right now than better. There's going to be seasons like that in marriage, aren't there? Because sometimes it's worse, and sometimes it's better. And thank God for the better. No one has ever made me as angry as that little girl right there on the front row. And honestly, she'll say, nobody's ever made me better than that boy preaching right now. I've given Irma fits. Can you imagine that? Good old me. No, and there was a point in our marriage that we were saying things like this: if that happens again, I'm out of here. We would speak to each other that way. But then I began to learn the principles, even as a pastor, even as a pastor's wife. We learned the principles that we don't say that to each other. I'm checking out, man. I'm gone. There's a D word we're about to say. And we had to learn, no matter how bad it gets, with the exception of abuse, no matter how bad it gets, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm here. And we would look at each other and we would be angry at each other. We weren't always happy, but we would know. See, do you know how much security that brought to her that I said that to her? Do you know how much security that brought to me that I knew that about her, that she wasn't going to go anywhere? And we meant it towards each other. And we're not perfect. We're just like you guys. We fight. We have disagreements. We're not happy all the time, but we're committed to it. Commitment is this: you're willing to be unhappy for a while until you work it out. That's what commitment is. Did you know that? And so we need commitment. To get divorced because you run out of love is like selling the car because you run out of gas. You just put, what do? You refill it with love. You refill your relationship with love. God is love. And if God is in you, he can live through you. He should. He can forgive through you. He can give people a second chance through you because God is love. He can love through you, right, everybody? Christians, well, that's not me. I hate my husband. How can you say that you love God and hate your brother? And the love of God is not within you. You think I'm making that up? No, that's scriptural. So you're not doing the Bible. Well, he's my enemy. I hate him. I hate her. They're my enemy. Do you know what the Bible says about? It says to bless your enemies. And it says to pray for your enemies and to do good to your enemies. I can't stand her. I can't stand him. Well, the Bible says to love your neighbor. And that's the closest neighbor you got. Your spouse is your neighbor. You can't get out of this thing. You got to man up. You got to be a lady of faith. You got to stick with it. A covenant is based on mutual commitment. Yeah, I'm preaching 54% better than your amen, but that's okay. I'm going to warm up later with a Baptist church down the street that way. Amen. Malachi speaks about the heart and how huge it is, and how we're able to affect the heart and what we do and live. And Malachi is this scripture that we talk about usually with tithing and offering and so forth. But look at what the prophet said in the Old Testament. And it says this, Malachi 2:16. So be on guard. Do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Yeah. A man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God Almighty, does violence in the one that he should protect, says the Lord God Almighty. So be on guard and do not be unfaithful. When I would look at this and I would go, oh, that's Malachi, Old Testament. Give me some New Testament because I don't get this. And I finally had to get this because I should know the Bible. I'm a pastor, right? So I studied intently and I found out, really, this is talking about that moment in time when it's the worst time in your marriage, when it's the time that everybody, hey, I'm gone. I'm out of here because that happened, and I'm washing my hands. In that moment, the Bible speaks of about this man or woman. I can turn it around to our ladies here, that you don't run from them, you run towards them. See, we should get what we deserve, but we don't. According to God, we get mercy, don't we? We should get hate. We should get a punishment of the cross, but somebody did that for us. And so in marriage, We do violence to that one that we, that moment that you should have protected and covered, you left. And you left them alone. And pain comes back. But a marriage of covenant will say, it's not a contract. I'm running towards you. And we're going to be better together than apart right now. Do you all understand that and get that with me today? During the most painful time, you came to the rescue instead of leaving today. Love doesn't give that person what they deserve. Love gives the person what they need at that very moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many do that for our kids? Think about your children, how much we give to them, how much we drive them, how much we take them everywhere, and we do that. Why won't we do that in our marriage? Because the kids are growing up. They're going to leave one day, and it's going to be you and her, you and your two. You have to invest into that, right, everybody? I'm glad the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. I'm going to give you three principles right now to reaffirm your priority, your covenant relationships in this room. Some will be in this church as fellow members towards each other. Some will be towards each other, of course, in marriage. Some will be in a workplace that you just need to make that covenant towards a boss today. And let's do that together right now. Number one is this. We will make a choice to what?
Love.
Love is more than a feeling. You know what love is, man? Love is staying up all night and holding that baby girl's hair back when she's vomiting into the toilet or holding the bucket, and you're smelling the vomit as a dad or mom. Love is that. In the middle of the night, you're up all night. That's love, right? Love is a choice. Love leads and feelings follow. Well, I'm up all night. The toddler's vomiting. It's your. You wouldn't do that with any other kid. No, they have their own mom and dad. I'm not going to smell that. Man. And love is that choice. That's why Colossians said that had all these things like mercy, forgiveness before it, long suffering. And it says, above all these virtues, put on what?
Love.
Because that's going to bind them together in perfect unity. You're not going to have love. You're not going to be able to forgive somebody if you don't have God's love. You're not going to be able to have mercy on people if you don't have God's love. So you make the choice to love no matter what. The second thought is this. We will prioritize our relationships. Maintenance will be needed. Priority relationships. You need to make your two, and make God your one. Relationships that are priority look like this if you're a Christian. God is first. Your spouse is second. You probably have your children in third. That's real important, yeah. And then after that, you know, you got to work. You got to have a relationship with your boss. You got to make sure that you keep that. You got to keep, you know, the Bible speaks of working. Yeah, it's a good thing to work. And then I think number five as a Christian should be your church. Your church should be in the top five, yeah. Because I named them in order, didn't I? It should matter what goes on here. As long what matters with God, what matters with your spouse, what matters with your children, what matters at your workplace, what matters to God in this house. And thank God we have a room full of witnesses in this room that say amen, amen, and amen. My church is important, right? I live, amen. They become what you say. You reap what you sow. Galatians spoke of that in the Galatian church. Paul wrote them a letter. He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he
sows.
Let us not become weary in doing good. For in the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not. Yeah, don't give up. The principles of sowing and reaping. You just got to keep sowing. Keep sowing the right thing, right, everybody? Hit your neighbor. Hit your neighbor and say, don't go to sleep. He's almost through. Notice I'm on point two. You won't hit your neighbor because you're asleep. Amen. It's okay. Hey, an apple seed in the ground will produce an orange. Good. I see you're awake right now. If somebody smiles at you, you're liable to smile. Yeah. If somebody flips the bird at you, you're liable to you're gonna say, God bless you in the name of Jesus, right? If they drive by and give you the one-handed peace sign, you're not going to peel the banana back, right? And if you do that, don't tell them you're from Living Faith. Give me a good amen. That's why we never print bumper stickers on the back, because we don't want to put them on your car. Yeah. In marriage, if somebody gives you grace, compassion, kindness in marriage, what are they going to reap? They're going to reap that back, aren't they? You're going to show them grace and kindness back, right? And compassion, right? Thank God for the grace of God, right, everybody? If someone's always complaining, always bickering, always like mad and critical over this or that, what's going to happen? You're likely to come back and be defensive, angry, self-justification. It's not going to be good. It's going to be ugly, right? Your harvest depends on what seed is in the ground, and that's what you attain. Women are multipliers. Did you know that? Women multiply. They have this gift. You give them something, and they make something beautiful. That bunch of flowers, well, they'll make it beautiful. They'll make an arrangement, right? They'll weave it and make it a nice thing that you can put on your door, whatever that's called. Anyway, they multiply. You give them a bachelor pad. Yeah, it's all stinky in there, socks everywhere. But they make it into something beautiful. They put potpourri everywhere, and they make that furniture. They'll put a cloth over that thing and make that couch look nice finally. Amen. Women can do that. You give them groceries. It used to be spam night, but now it's spam casserole. Amen. Because they got women can multiply, right? You give them flowers. You give them love. You give them affirmation, tenderness. They're liable to give you some belly button to belly button action. Give me a good amen. Y'all, you don't need to. Oh, you don't know that. Okay, good. You need to go back to the series. Amen. You give them physical love. They multiply. They give you kids. Amen. They give you children. They multiply that way. Guys, if you give your wife a hard time, you know what's going to happen? They're going to multiply and give you hell. If you don't like what you're getting, look at what you've been giving. And so, no, I'm always right. She's always wrong. He's always wrong. And I'm the right one. No, you're self-justification. You're arrogant. You're judgmental. You're reaping what you sow if you're doing that today. Finally, number three is this. We will trust God. Somebody shout God. We're going to trust God. Why do you think the dollar bill says in God we
trust?
Yeah, we don't trust man because man disappoints us. Your spouse will disappoint you. But if two can trust God together, they get closer to God. And God doesn't disappoint in a marriage. In Psalms 127 on the big screen, it says this, unless the Lord builds, and that word build, Hebrew, it means to rebuild and establish. In other words, a second chance has come upon everyone in this house. God is building, not you, but God is rebuilding foundations right now. 2x4s are going in. And God is building a house right now. I speak that to your heart right now. Every one of us in this room today, God can give us a new beginning. It's builder's labor. How? And that vain word is emptiness. Built on a house built on sand. It's not going to last if you build it that way. Don't build it on yourself. Build it on God today. Billy Graham was laid to rest in his North Carolina property. And heads of state came and pastors came from all over the country. They had a beautiful ceremony. I caught one clip and Daisy prepared it for us. I said, can we show this to the people? I want you to see what Ruth Graham, his daughter, said as she eulogized her father under that great tent that Billy used to preach under. And here's the clip.
We heard it many times, but it bears repeating because to me it speaks to the essence of who my father was and is. After 21 years, my marriage ended in divorce. I was devastated. I floundered. I did a lot wrong. The rug was pulled out from under me. My family thought it'd be a good idea for me to move away, to get a fresh start somewhere else. So I decided to live near my older sister and her family and near a good church. The pastor of that church introduced me to a handsome widower, and we began to date fast and furiously. My children didn't like him. But I thought, you know, they were almost grown. They didn't know what they could, they couldn't tell me what to do. I knew what was best for my life. My mother called me from Seattle. My father called me from Tokyo. They said, honey, why don't you slow down? Let us wait to get to know this man. They had never been a single parent. They had never been divorced. What did they know? So being stubborn, willful, and sinful, I married this man, on New Year's Eve, and within 24 hours, I knew I'd made a terrible mistake. After 5 weeks, I fled. I was afraid of him. What was I going to do? I wanted to go talk to my mother and my father. It was a 2-day drive. Questions swirled in my mind. What was I going to say to Daddy? What was I going to say to Mother? What was I going to say to my children? I'd been such a failure. What were they going to say to me? We're tired of fooling with you. We told you not to do it. You've embarrassed us. And let me tell you, you women will understand you don't want to embarrass your father. You really don't want to embarrass Billy Graham. And many of you know that we live on the side of a mountain. And as I wound myself up the mountain, I rounded the last bend in my father's driveway, and my father was standing there waiting for me. As I got out of the car, he wrapped his arms around me and he said, "Welcome home." There was no shame, there was no blame, there was no condemnation, just unconditional love. And you know, my father was not God, but he showed me what God was like that day. When we come to God with our sin, our brokenness, our failure, our pain and our hurt, God says, "Welcome home." And that invitation is open for you. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Wasn't that good? Yeah. Powerful, wasn't it? What area right now do you need to really trust God? We will trust God together. I know sometimes you wonder about what's in someone's heart. Like, I still won't trust. I still won't forgive. I still won't try. I still don't have the feeling to do it. I still don't want to pray. And what other area in your life that are significant do you have that luxury? Think about that with me real quick. Do you have that luxury when you go to work? I don't feel like going to work. You got to go to work, right? Eventually, or you won't have anything. You got to work no matter what feelings come. How about with your children as a parent? I don't feel like being a parent. You know, they're vomiting right now, or they're asking for money again for the 20th time. Do you have that luxury as a parent? You're still a parent, right? How about when you pay taxes? Check this out. When you pay taxes, you can get away with it for a little bit, but then you're going to be wanted, aren't you? What other area do you have that luxury that you can't not give up? You need to not give up. You have to pursue no matter how you feel. Choices lead. Feelings follow, right? I'm so glad that Billy Graham's family wasn't perfect. How about you? When I see this, the novice have hope, right, everybody? When I hear a test, I didn't know any of that went on. And that gives everyone hope, every man hope, every woman hope, every marriage hope in this room, that even through a divorce, that there can be somebody that can build a legacy. Now, it didn't end right for her in whatever, and it's ending right now in the sense of her life and the testimony, because she had somebody waiting for her. See, that's why the Bible said, don't give up. Don't become weary on your well-doing, because in due season, you'll reap the harvest. The harvest was her dad saying, "Welcome home." And there's a spiritual legacy in that, that he's being utilized. The eulogy was happening at that very moment by a great daughter that is saying, "This is what my father showed me. He showed me God today." And it can happen in your marriage, your home, that you can have a testimony finally. I know the parents of even children that have divorced or that worked through their problems, they can announce and say, "You know what, mom and dad weren't perfect, but they still pushed through and they stayed together and they showed us what faithfulness was," right, everybody? And for those that are divorced and need a new beginning in this room today, God is still God, and you can still be the example that you need to your children. You protect them and you show them this is what marriage is about if we put God first. Right, everybody? Amen. I'm thankful today that I stand before a great congregation that we say, "God, work in our lives today," because we don't have the answers, but you do, God, today. And so for 5 weeks, I've come at you and I've said, this is what relationships look like in the context of how God does them. And we do them today. Amen. Let's bow and pray. Thank you, Father, for the harvest of God's people coming together. And thank you for the hand of God upon us. Let's pray for every couple. Amen. In the sense of just let me pray for every couple. Amen. I want to pray for my marriage. And thank God. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now, I thank you. Hold your wife's hand right now if you're next to her. Put your arm around her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for my bride. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We say never give up. You're my best friend. Bless each marriage, God. You blessed our marriage. You're not a respecter of persons. And Irma and I, we pray for the single adults in this room, God, that they would pursue their one, which is you, my Father. Most of the single adults in this room want to be married one day and have lifelong love. And if ever, God, you've blessed, you can bless this church. You can bless every single adult. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for those that have walked through divorce in this room, that you would help them, Lord. There's hope, God. There's healing. And I pray that that would be upon them right now in Jesus' name as we agree. Thank you, Father. They're in the right place, the right season. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We pray for covenants to be made right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the covenant of God. Lord, the contract is not ours in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, we don't have that heart. A covenant, we're all in until death do us part, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, love through each heart right now. Forgive through each heart. And may the hand of God be upon us. As I continue to pray, you're in this room. And God's a covenant-keeping God. And he loved you so much that he took on full responsibility where he would say, I'm going to send my son to die for what you should die for so I can welcome you and you can be part of my family. That's how bad I want you in my family. That's how much God loves us. You're in this room and you're far away from God, but you're recognizing that you need forgiveness, that you need God in your life today. And God is near right now. He's a prayer away. You've never said yes to Christ. You're far away from God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted slightly. I'll note your hand and I'll lead you from a prayer from this platform today. And we'll say yes to Jesus together. If that's you, would you say yes to Jesus? Just let me see your hand. I'll pause for a moment and make sure that you're here and you prayed the prayer of faith. Anyone? Just making sure. Anyone? Just making sure. Father, apparently everyone in this congregation has received Christ as their Savior. So we bless each person, Father. We've equipped the church for ministry. And I thank you, God, for the covenant that we have in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We live our lives surrendered to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory, right? In the name of Jesus, amen and amen and amen. There's a connection card in front of you that if you need prayer of any